Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofticities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Anyway, but we were talking about how, you know, parents sometimes will, you know, focus on, you know, just like, they think that their kid is going to be a college athlete, right? And so they want to even take them to church on Sunday. Or it's not even a priority because travel ball is always played on a Sunday or traveling on a Sunday or whatever, you know? And so they're not even instilling like the foundation. If you don't instill in a kid the foundation of this is how we honor God and we sacrifice to honor God. Okay, that's got to be a part of your life.
Yep.
So again, early on, you know, with I was just thinking of Bryce, our oldest. He's now 21, and when he was probably a junior in high school, you know, his thinking was, and you know what God had called him to do was he just really wanted to go in business and pursue that. And so when, so he was, you know, asking us about college and different things. And so, we said, okay, listen, we're not sending you to a place that is going to cost, you know, how many tens of thousands of dollars a year, you know, and they're going to indoctrinate you and you're going in a Christian and you're coming out and you're hating God and you're not going to honor God. Okay. I refuse. Yeah. I'm not sending you to a place like that. If anything, if we can find somewhere that actually is going to teach you if you want to be in business, how to successfully have your own business and get the skills needed to be able to do that, not just always work for somebody else, right? So actually, this is what he wanted to do. This is what he had in our heart. And, you know, we just kept praying, Lord, and we've told the boys since they were very young, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and you need to hear from God what that plan is. Mm-hmm. And we're, as your parents, the Lord will speak to us as well, but God is going to speak to you. Like, we've put that in them earlier. God is going to speak to you, and he is going to tell you. And so, honestly, as a parent, like, Father, I thank you that you'll speak to us, and you'll also confirm, you know, your word, because we're obviously their parents, but my real mixing of faith was like, it's not most important for me to know. I'm not the one to tell them, Lord, you're the one who has a plan for them. So you're going to speak to them. That's what I put my faith and trust in, is that, Lord, you're going to make that known to them and put the desire in them to even like, they want to know that they want to seek you out. And, you know, I have actually seen that happen in my boys, which is awesome to see. But again, that's what we put our faith on. So as we were, as you know, Bryce expressed this desire for, to, you know, learn business and go into business and everything. So then I said, okay, I'm going to do research then. I'm going to find like what are some actually great Christian colleges that are truly Christian that are going to where can you start learning about business? Where could you go? What are some people that we can start learning from? So, you know, as I am, you know, looking and seeking out and just making some plans. Now, this is at this point in time, it was still his junior year, but we were getting ready to kind of, you know, he was close to ending his junior year, going to be going into a senior year. So of course you're going to, when it comes to colleges, you know, you got to do the testing for it. You've got to, you know, all the kind of things is where our mind was going. And then I actually found a place. I told Bryce, hey, here's a college out in Arizona. It looks like this might be a good fit. You know, why don't you look at this and let's plan. Maybe we can take a trip out there and just see or whatever. Well, what I didn't even realize, because he never actually voiced this, is how much he was actually spending time seeking the Lord on, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, he had this desire on the inside of him. Praise the Lord, but again, it was an answer to our prayer of like, Lord, you're going to speak to these boys on what you have called them to do. And so we didn't even realize how much that he was just asking God, what do you want me to do? What, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then he goes that same summer and goes down to a youth week down at the River of Tampa Bay Church. Praise the Lord for, you know, that place and Pastors Rodney and Donica. Anyway, they had a youth week, which they do every summer in the right near the end of July. They actually have it for youth kids. Yeah. And for youth. And it is just awesome. It's so mm-hmm. awesome. Highly encourage, you know, youth and kids to be able to go to that. But anyway, so he went down there, had just an awesome encounter with God, and the Lord spoke to him, and then a minister pulled him out, prophesied over him, and he had this encounter with God, and he knew 100% what God had called him to do. And God spoke to him directly and said, I've called you to be a youth minister, and you are to go to Bible college down here. I mean, he spoke specific direction to him. So that changed everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
it did.
And notice he didn't get that from his parents. He got that from God. And that's exactly what he had to have. And of course, we felt, I mean, we were just like overjoyed, not just that he was called to ministry or called to go to Bible college, but that the Lord had spoken to him and he knew exactly. And, you know, I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, and he was 17, almost 18 when he got right. that from Very the true. Lord. And so it was so awesome because then we didn't have to go through, okay, you got to really focus on the ACT and the SAT and we got to go, you know, apply to these colleges and try to get a scholarship and, you know, be like, oh my gosh, what, you know, how are we going to do all this? No, we're just like, okay, perfect. Let's just go. We'll start going in that direction. And got a, you know, Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Donica, so, you know, generous with their scholarships down there. So he, you know, went to 2 years of Bible college down there. And now actually he's up here at our Bible college. We have the same accreditation as down in Tampa. And so he's actually doing his third year of full-time internship and training and everything. And we'll finish soon here with his degree in ministry. And our second son, Ethan, who is 18, he actually, it's kind of a similar type story, except for he never voiced as far as, you know, being called to business or whatever. He just really started seeking the Lord. I remember he was, I don't even know if he was 17 years old. I think he might have been still been 16, you know? And he really just, and he was telling me, oh, I'm just praying and asking the Lord to show me exactly what he's called me to do. Cause I don't know. I don't know what that is, Mom. And I said, you know what? I said, don't be concerned. You don't have to be worried. The Lord, your desire is to hear from the Lord. The Lord's going to make that very plain to you. We again never said, oh, well, we think you should do this or no, we just encouraged him that he could hear from the Lord himself and that the Lord would make that real to him. And it was actually then Ethan who came back to us and said, no, I really feel like actually God's spoken to me to go to Bible college and I'm supposed to go here to the Bible school at the church, Smoky Mountain Bible College. And again, I was actually a little bit shocked. I mean, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And I, you know, and then at different times, even later, I've said, you know, well, Ethan, I just want to make sure here that, you know, obviously, you know, I don't want you just doing something or just going to the Bible college here at the church because we're your parents and everything.
You think that's what we would want you
yeah,
to do?
Well, we want yeah. everything. Because listen, we just want you to do whatever God has spoken you to do and we'll support you in that because, you know, we love our kids unconditionally and we want them to always, you know that you know, you're... It's important that you just do what God has called you to do because you're unique, just like each one of us, and God has an awesome and amazing plan, you know, for you. And he is like several different times, no, this is what I know that God has called me to do, and this is what I'm going to do. He's in his senior year right now. So I just give those couple testimonies to just encourage you if you're listening and maybe you're saying, well, gosh, you know, I'm 35 or I'm 40 or I'm 60 or I'm 70 and I still don't know what God has called me to do, then press in and get that direction from the Lord because regardless of your age, God will speak to you and he'll show you and it's not even going to be your responsibility. Okay, now, God, you've told me this. How do I get on that plan? No, the Lord actually, again, he provides the people. He provides the way. You've just got to surrender.
You know, let me just insert this also, babe.
Please do.
People sometimes... They're asking God, they're going in a direction, and maybe you've been going in this direction for a good bit of time, and you're heading in a direction, and you're saying, God, you know, help me in this. Lord, I need your help in this, and God, show me this thing, and lead me in this way. How can I do better in this and everything like that? And you've come to a place where it's just like, you know, God's not... He's not giving me any direction and I don't know what to do. You know, I need help with this and everything like that. But I'm just not getting anything from God. Let me ask you this question. Have you asked God if you're doing the right thing that he has for you to do. If what you're actually doing right now, maybe you started it some time ago, mm-hmm. if that is actually his plan for your life, or mm-hmm. you have just assumed, since you've already been doing it, that this would be what I should just keep doing.
Right.
And maybe you're not hearing from God because God's not instructing you in a path that he doesn't have for you.
Right.
But if you will seek the Lord, seek his face, God will show you what his plan is for your life. And maybe you've had a percentage of success in what you're doing, but it's nothing compared to what you would see if you follow the plan that God has for your life, okay? Because when you know what God's plan is, kind of the third thing here is you've got to go all in. And you've got to, if you don't know for sure that you're doing what God has, then, you know, you can kind of be insecure in that.
Yeah,
because this is just my idea. This is what I'm trying to do and everything. I'm trying to plow ahead with this thing or that thing. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe this isn't the best. Well, I would be insecure in that.
Right.
Because it's just yourself. But if you know that God is with you.
Right.
I mean, I know what I'm doing. 100%. I know I am following the exact perfect plan of God for my life. And I'm going to tell you, I check in very regularly in regards to that. Lord, is this that we're doing and how we're doing this? Is this what you would have? Is there any direction shifting? Anything I need to be aware of? Show me. And I ask the Lord all the time, Lord, lead me and guide me. I only want to follow the path that you want. I don't want to get off and waste any time in doing anything that is unproductive or anything that is not his plan for the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom of God is immense. It's huge in every, and I can't just say, okay, well, you know, if somebody is doing this thing over here that is never associated with the kingdom of God because that's not what I do. I'm not that dumb, okay? There are so many aspects of the kingdom of God and things that I'm not involved in, but I can't just do anything that somebody else in the kingdom is doing and thinking, well, this is an okay thing for me to do. No, I have to do what God's called me to do specifically,
right.
Okay? It's just like your body parts all have a specific job. And you know, if it's not that other parts can't do something. I mean, I can scratch my calf with my left calf with my right heel, but that is not what the heel is made for, okay? It's more effective if I'll reach down with my hand and use my fingers to scratch my calf, okay? That's going to give it a better, quicker relief. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, we make do with what we have. But you shouldn't live a life of make do.
Mm-hmm.
You have an exact plan, and you need to find out, this is exactly how I fit in the body of Christ. This is how I should operate. And when you're doing exactly what you're created to do, what you were made to do, you're not going to have any insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to feel broken. You're not going to feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. That is something that just hit home with somebody as I was talking there, because that's a feeling that you're dealing with. You feel like you're broken. You feel like you're inadequate. You don't fit in. And God says, get in the place that I have for you, and you'll find all that God has, and it'll come in even to, it's, life isn't about the feelings, everything, but you will feel the presence of God with you. Okay, so don't go along a path where you feel insecure, where you feel broken, that you don't feel like you are adequate or anything like that. Because I want to tell you, you will feel the presence of God with you. You will know that he is leading you. You'll know that he's guiding you. You will even have opposition. You'll have persecution, but it does not affect you going forward. People, when they're persecuted and they're not in the plan that God has for them, they'll fall away.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get offended, actually, because a persecution comes. The Word of God talks about that.
Right.
But it's because there's no foundation of knowing this is the plan that God has for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so find out this, what it is. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And follow after that. Run after the plan that God has for you. Be all in.
Yes, for sure. And of course, you cannot be all in God's plan, what he's called you to do, if your life is not fully surrendered to him. It goes together. You understand that? Because your consecration and your dedication to the Lord, if it's nominal and it's just like, oh, sometimes I want to do God's plan, sometimes I don't want to do his plan or whatever, there's no way that actually you can properly fulfill what God has called you to do. And of course, it affects then the way that you feel, because you're not fully surrendered. And so therefore it's like you're not fully able to receive actually what God, everything that God has for you. And you miss out on actually the joy and everything that walking in God's perfect plan, there are so many blessings in that. And you miss out on all that. And it's just like, you end up with a lot of frustration and comparing yourselves, which of course is where insecurity comes from. And pride, right? And so, and I just want to say this because social media breeds a lot of that. And so many people today are very wrapped up in social media, right? And it's not just younger people. It's older people as well. They spend so much time on social media. And so it's like, you look at it and
50 posts a day.
Right. And you just like, you look at social media and it's like, you have to be very careful, actually. Mm-hmm. I even found this in my own life because otherwise, like you look at it because of course social media is not reality. Actually, it doesn't paint the full picture ever. And so it just breeds insecurity because either you look at it and you like compare, which of course, whenever you compare, it either is going to bring pride as far as in the sense of like, wow, well, I look better than them. I'm doing a better job. Mm-hmm. They're, man, well, you know, we have bigger results. Man, our church is bigger than theirs. Or it's like the opposite of like, insecurity, like, oh my gosh, I could never do what they're doing. Oh my goodness, look at all this growth they've had in their life or their business or their church. Or wow, look how, you know, how much weight they've lost or how great they look at their age or whatever. You know, it's just, it's like, and again, it's not even this reality. I mean, you're like trying to compare yourself to someone who's used like these filters that like, of course they have no wrinkles, you know, or whatever, or of course they look so great. Or, you know, all you got to do is like take your phone. Like, cause obviously, you know, so many people taking selfies or whatever. I mean, just literally take your phone and take a picture of yourself at like 4 or 5 different, you know, angles. You literally can change from being a person who looks like they're 100 pounds overweight to someone who like looks like you have just like lost 100 pounds. You know, I mean, it's so crazy, you know, just even different angles and filters and everything. I mean, so I'm just saying that to say that, like, I mean, talk about, you can either like give yourself a total complex of like, oh my gosh, I look terrible and I look so old or fat or whatever it is, to like, oh man, I just look like so amazing. Oh my gosh. It's not even like real life. So anyway, but here's the thing is there's no way that if you're going to allow any insecurity in yourself, and again, if I could just, maybe in some ways this applies more to ladies than it does to guys, but I know that it also applies to guys, is that my advice is like, if you could actually just lose whatever insecurities hold you back, and if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to burn in you, this is why it's so awesome to allow the fire of God to burn in your life, that because insecurities and comparing yourselves and pride's at the root of all of this totally holds you back from fully walking in what God has called you to. Okay. And so it's one of those where you really just have to get to the point where you really don't care what people think, and you're not going to allow whatever insecurity to hold you back, because you can't be all in when you've got those things hanging on. They actually hinder you. It took me a long time to realize how much that held me back. Even it goes into, of course, small thinking, but even just ask the Holy Spirit when you're in situations, you know, he'll reveal things to you. And what it is an opportunity for you to not just get like upset and frustrated and start pointing fingers at somebody else, but to actually say, Holy Spirit, burn that thing out of me. I don't want that thing that holds me back.
Amen.
And sometimes it's even things that like are unsuspecting. You didn't realize they were in there. And it's kind of like when you realize it's in there, you're kind of like disappointed in yourself. Like, what the heck? I didn't know that that was an issue in my life, or that I still thought that way or felt that way. No, it's actually the Lord is taking you to a higher level. And in order to go, that you've got to allow anything. There's things that hold you back from higher levels. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to burn that out. And again, you know, he'll reveal the things, just let it go. But just as a general thing, I wish like I would have known some of these things way back when. It's like, not worrying about what people think and just getting rid of like, oh, just being concerned about the way that you look, or, well, I don't talk right, or I'm not good at this, or just lose all of that negative thinking. And just go, you know what? The Lord doesn't put expectations on you like that. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, you can do my will for you if you look like this, or if you're this age, or if you're this race, or if you talk like this. Or it's like, you know, the Lord, I mean, I so suck. Well, I still sometimes actually at public speaking and all this kind of, but you know what I've just learned? Just yield to the Holy Spirit. There's definitely some things I've done in the natural, but to help, and I've asked for advice and I ask for feedback a lot and everything so that I can keep growing. But what I started to say is that if you looked at my life at when the Lord called me, when I'm to go to Bible school and everything, I never, ever, ever saw myself as a minister. I didn't. I was like, first of all, I hated public speaking. Okay, so how are you going to be like a minister if you don't want to do that kind of stuff, right? And I was really bad at it. I really was. And I didn't want to do it. So like, I didn't even want to. But again, if you just go all in and go, literally, my cry began and my prayer began like, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do that. So if that's what you want me to do, then I'm just going to surrender and I don't know. I'm just going to have to stand up there and look like a total idiot. I mean, I literally didn't have any idea how I was going to do that, but I was willing to do whatever. And Lord, if you just want me to like be a great helper and to be like cleaning toilets or, you know, whatever it is you want me to do, you want me to go help in the kids, whatever, because I knew I was called to ministry. He made that very evident to me. That was definitely not my own plan, but the Lord is the one who made that evident to me. And so I just, it comes out of that all in surrender and then letting go of anything that the Lord speaks to you and just understanding that like, it doesn't matter, you know, if I think that I'm not qualified, it doesn't matter if, you know, I don't have what I think is a necessary skill set or anything. The Lord will help you.
Yes, he will.
To get all of those things. You got to apply yourself. And again, it's like the daily surrender. You don't ever think, I don't care how experienced you are or, you know, how many years you've been doing whatever God's called you. You don't ever think, oh yeah, I know it all. I've got this now. Let me just, no. Again, it's a daily surrender and it's a day like, Lord, I am all in. So if I need to adjust an attitude, if I need to adjust the way that I think or whatever, I am all in. I'm going to let go and not be worried about silly things. And honestly, when you're younger, you need to know that a silly thing is worrying about what people think and like, well, I mean, I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to do that. Or I'm just, you know, too, you know, I'm not good at, you know, speaking, so I can't be used of the Lord in an area, or I don't know anything about, you know, managing money, so I can't be called to be a banker or be in business if that's what the Lord's called you to be. No. Let go of all of the negativity, all of the stinking thinking. It's get it out of your vocabulary. Get it out of the way that you think. You can change. You can change very quickly.
Absolutely. And don't compare. You mentioned this also about comparisons. It'll either produce pride or inferiority. And so, and if you're single, don't look, I mean, be secure in who you are in Christ. This is what God's called me to. I am this and everything like that. And maybe you haven't, you know, come across your spouse yet and everything like that, but understand that God's going to show you someone that, you know, and I don't, again, if you remember back in the last, podcasts. I don't think that there's just one particular person, only one that will ever work with you, you know, in your life and everything like that, because marriage, It's like every relationship, it takes work, it takes sacrifice, takes, you know, give and take. It's a whole thing. But if you believe that, you know, I really desire to be married, then believe that God will lead you in your search, okay? You have decisions to make, and you can decide, yes, I like this, I like this, I like that. No, that's not exactly right. That doesn't work for me. But the thing is that don't be insecure. When you come across another single person that, you know, is of the opposite sex as you, and, you know, you're like, hey, I'm attracted to this person, but they're like really strong in their calling, or they're, you know, whatever it is, whether it's ministry or business or whatever it is, and you know what, I do this, and maybe this is a little less than what they're doing. Stop that.
Right.
You be who you are, and that's all you need to be, and God right. can, you let God work things out in different people's hearts, but don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't put yourself down because somebody else is very secure in their calling. That is your problem there then, okay? Mm-hmm. You're creating a problem because you are insecure. And unfortunately, we have a lot of soft guys out there right now that shouldn't be. And they're not secure enough in who they are. They've been effeminized by society and told that, you know, you're all this and you're not this and you're not that and you can't do all of these things. Just trying to destroy the who the man is in society anymore,
right.
and trying to
the
make
head,
ladies
leader,
think that
right.
they are manly and
right.
men think that they are girly. And no, it's not that way. So guys, be a man. Man up and do what you're supposed to do. Be what you're supposed to be. Be a man. Approach the lady. If you're attracted to her, then you pursue her. She shouldn't be pursuing you. That's not hers to do. That is
right.
yours to do. And so you find a lady that you know you are attracted to, not just physically, but you know everything about her and who she is, her personality and what she does, and you find that attractive. You find that as not something that, well, I'm not that at all, and so I need that in my life, because that could come to haunt you later. But the thing is that, you know, what attracts you, and that you get along, you get along well with, and you learn that you can serve the Lord together with them in a great way, and you can't live without them, then pursue that, okay? Mm-hmm. And don't be insecure with who you are and what God's called you to do. Just be all in, like my wife was saying.
Right. You know, I was just thinking, babe, and it's amazing how with these podcasts, they always, you know, come out differently than maybe even what we think when we get started or whatever. But I'm amazed at, like, these last couple podcasts that actually there's so much in here that is for marrieds and it's for singles and it's for, you know, all ages, whatever. But I was just thinking about how, you know, when we were dating, I was 26 and you were at 33. And of course I, you know, he grew up in church. I didn't, you know, I went to Bible college after getting radically, you know, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but in Bible college, clueless as to why I would even, I mean, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I certainly didn't think I was called to ministry, or I was like, I'm not going to marry some preacher. These guys around here, they're all weird. And they keep asking me if I play the piano and I was, they want to know
can
before.
You sing
yeah,
for me, baby?
Yeah. Right. I mean, before you're even going to go on a date.
Audition for my wife to be my wife.
Yeah. I mean, it was so stupid. I mean, if you're going to go on a date, like, they want to know before they would even ask you on a date if you play the piano. I'm like, so just because that, I was like, heck no, and I'm never going to play the piano, and you are a total idiot, geek, nerd, sure. whatever. I was just like, these church boys are just like weird, you know. I mean, I'd come straight out of the world. Like, that's not, you know, how you did things in the world. Anyway, who cares about the piano
straight
or not? Anyway,
cool.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I come from that, and then of course, you know, I go to Bible school for, you know, 2 years and end up you know, working for a lady actually in a childcare for a year, and then working for an amazing, you know, lady evangelist. Many of you know her, Dr. Debbie Rich. And of course, that's how we ended up meeting. But even though, what I was starting to say, even as, you know, we met, you know, we're dating, and I just remember we're engaged, and it's like all of a sudden, like all of these thoughts start hitting my mind and just being like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. I mean, if I can actually be the wife that he really needs, and, you know, he's, you know, he's traveled all over the world. I mean, I, you know, was working, you know, full time in ministry and everything. But still, it was a, like a different thing to like the idea in my mind of like, oh my gosh. And now I got to go and he's on staff, you know, at his parents' church. And, you know, he's an associate pastor. And I got to be like a pastor's wife. Like, what the heck? I never saw myself doing that. I don't even know if I want to do that. Like, what am I doing? And I don't know, you know, and then, you know, I'm thinking, okay, maybe actually the type of, you know, here he, I knew he had dated, you know, some other ladies that were actually, you know, I knew at least like a, one of them or a couple of them, they're like, they were like forefront, like their own ministries and everything, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, that's not me. And, you know, he's a very powerful, you know, minister, flows in the Holy Ghost. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't need, you know, I started like really second guessing. Cause again, this is, and my point is all this is like not giving into insecurities, right? And so I was just like to him, like, yeah, I don't actually, you know, if I, this is like, I don't really know if I can be what you want, you know? And he was just like, listen, I'm just, you know, I just want you to be my wife. Like, I don't have these expectations of, mm-hmm. you know, you got to fulfill, you know, all of this. And he's like, I'm not, you know, and I was like, but well, you could marry like some lady who's like, you know, has her own ministry. And he's like, what? I'm not even, that wouldn't even work. I'm not even looking like for that. He's like, I'm not looking for someone who's like gonna, you know, compete with me or, you know, be the head or whatever. He goes, I just, you know, I just want you to be, I just want you to be my wife. And that was like, I didn't even realize that that's really exactly what I needed to hear, but that's exactly what I needed because, and of course I often, you know, tell people that he literally has been my greatest encourager in life, but to just really step into everything that God has called me to be. And he never put that pressure on me to like, well, you got to look like this, or you got to preach, you got to play the piano, you got to do this, or, you know, whatever. And really actually out of that, you know, really has, that really has been the environment to allow actually the giftings that God has placed in me to be able to come out. And he's really helped me so much in being able to just be who God has called me to be. But if I would have like given into even those insecurities before we even married and just, you know, because sometimes just because of that, people call off, you know, I could have, you know, called off the wedding or not stepped into actually what God had for me and missed out on, you know, the Lord has just so blessed us and blessed our marriage. And out of that, we've been able to be a great blessing and strength to other people.
Absolutely.
And other marriages. And the Lord has allowed us to just be instrumental in even many, not just marrying people, but people that, you know, would have divorced and had crazy situations. The Lord has allowed us to be able to, you know, have a part in rebuilding things. It's just been a real joy to us. But again, it's so important that we don't look at, you know, insecurity comes when you look at yourself and you just go, okay, I'm not what God needs, or I can't be that, or I don't have that, or whatever. And the devil is always trying to point those things out. And again, maybe ladies are you know, more susceptible to those things. But as you were saying, it's like society and everything, society comes against any godly structure, right? And
absolutely.
And from the foundation, you know, of time, and of course we go back to Genesis, we see how God created everything. And of course, for things to flourish and be successful in correct order, which then makes way for the blessing of God, is that you've got to have a head in a marriage, right? And so, you know, of course, society comes against that, you know, trying to undermine the authority that a man is supposed to carry and walk in. And of course, you know, ladies have authority as well, and they have a godly place. And when the two of each of us are in our lane, so to speak, that God has called us to, it's a beautiful and it's a wonderful thing. So again, if you give into insecurities, you're actually going to miss out on what God has for you.
Absolutely. 100%. So the best thing you can do, just get rid of them.
That's right. Just, you know, and the Holy Ghost burns those out. Things. That's what, you know, I mentioned earlier, but if each one of us will yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him, give him access, instead of just making excuse or instead of just backing down, or, you know, the thing is that we all have comfort zones and we all like those, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to surrender. That's all part of being all in and just surrendering to that, because there's no growth that comes out of comfort zones. As another thing that I wish that I would have known earlier on. It's actually not a hard thing to surrender to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes no. people think it is. No, it's not actually. And if you just keep casting your care upon him, like, I'm frustrated about this, Lord, I don't like the way I feel about this, you know, anything at all, whatever, just keep casting your care upon him, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And he does that. He's mm-hmm. like so amazing.
Absolutely. You know, and let me just say this before we close. This, you know, you might marry somebody that at, you know, you believe, okay, this is the person, you know, it's best for me to marry, but I need to change them.
So they fit what
and,
I want.
Yeah. And you've told me that a lot of ladies think that way and everything.
Oh, they absolutely
but,
do.
But I will tell you now, you guys, you know, sometimes they'll marry somebody and think, well, I have to raise her up. You know,
oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, and I have to teach her a thing and everything. Be like her daddy instead of. I want to tell you this: that ladies aren't wanting to marry their father, okay, and guys aren't wanting to marry their mama, okay. It makes things very weird in the relationship. You marry somebody and love them, okay? Love them as your spouse. As I married my wife, yes, she may not have had the years of experience in walking with the Lord that I did. I didn't ask God to marry a church girl. I didn't say, Lord, I want to marry a girl that, you know, is, you know, this and, you know, is, you know, maybe what all the other guys were thinking that they needed and everything. I said, Lord, just you lead my search. You know what, Lord, is going to best help me in the plan that you have for my life. All I wanted was someone that was going to help me the most, and God has given me that in my wife. And he has, by the Holy Spirit, because the anointing teaches us all things. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to, like, okay, baby, you need to sit down here and I need to teach you some things. Have I ever done that to you?
No, you have never have.
Never. I've never even insinuated that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Because the anointing is the teacher.
Right.
And if you will make the anointing in your home something that is prevalent, mm-hmm. and this is the power of God in mm-hmm. our lives and in our marriage. We are an anointed couple. I am not an anointed preacher. We are an anointed couple, okay? And God called us together. He uses us together. That's why we do this, and I love doing this with my wife. This is just absolutely fantastic. This is one of my favorite things to be able to do, is just for us to be able to minister together. Mm-hmm. and there is a flow, as you can see. You know, we don't get in, you know, battles of, no, let me say that. No, you don't say that. I wanted to say that thing. You do that point. And I'll do this one here. We don't have this all planned out at all.
We don't have a knocker here knocking each other.
We just
boxing gloves.
We just flow with it. And there's not strife and competition and anything like that. We prefer one another. Mm-hmm. Because there's an anointing that works together, and that anointing, it teaches me how to be the husband I need to be. It teaches her, I haven't asked her about this, but I know it's the case, it teaches her how to be the wife that she needs to be for me.
Absolutely.
It teaches both of us how we should be the parents
right.
that we should be. And if you will allow the anointing to work in your life, you will be a better you. Mm-hmm. You'll be the best you can be.
Right.
I don't know what somebody else's book says, be the best. Isn't there a book like that, Be the Best You Can Be? I think there is a book like that. I haven't read it, but it sounds familiar.
Sounds
but I want to
like
tell you,
title.
I'm going to add the addendum in there. If you want to be the best you that you can be, allow the anointing to flow through you. Allow the anointing to teach you,
yes.
and it will cause you to be all that God has for you to be, and you will be the best helpmate that you can be for your
right.
spouse. And I want to help my spouse, and she wants to help me, and together we work to do what God has called us to do. I don't imagine ever life without her, and because I need her to be a part of my life. And, you know, and she needs me as part of, absolutely, of her life.
Absolutely.
Could we do life without each other? I'm sure with God, we can do all things.
Oh, that sounds okay? terrible.
We can do God with God, we can do all things. But right. God has allowed us to team up. And we believe that we are the best team that we can be together for God. And so Amen. we don't try to do things. I'm just doing this all by myself. I don't right. want you involved in this. Stay away. That's a problem right there.
Right.
And so when we go and do things, I want her with me. That's our best times together.
Right.
And for that's sure. the way it should be. And so if I would have known when I was 25 how good marriage would be yeah. when, as I am now at 35, nearly 60 in just a few months, turning 60. But if I would have known at 25 how wonderful and everything, I probably would have even pursued it even stronger. Mm-hmm. That, wow, this is really, really what, you know, could really take me to another level. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get so caught up, you know, in this is my world, this is my mm-hmm. life, I'm good, mm-hmm. I'm strong. I was pretty confident yeah. in the direction I was going in. I wasn't full of insecurity or anything like that. I got dealt with that stuff to deal with when I was young because of the physical condition that I worked with. And I had to learn at a very young age to get past people's words and their looks and to not let that bother me because I wasn't what they thought I was. I wasn't limited by what other people thought I could only do or anything like that. So uh-huh. I got past that when I was just young. I didn't realize I got past it, but I did. And so it didn't hinder me when I was in my late teens and early 20s just to kind of, I'm just going for it here and, you know, mm-hmm. think whatever you want. I'm not letting your thoughts slow me down. I'm not letting your looks slow me down. I'm not letting your words slow me down. Nothing. I'm just going to go for it. But had I known when I was that age how wonderful it can be when you team up with the right person to live for God and to do life together in a much more powerful way, because the Bible does say two are better than one.
Yeah.
I didn't take that verse to heart, but it is true. And so I want to encourage you, if that's something in your life that you have a desire for, then, you know, maybe you need to set aside some time and say, God, I need that person in my life in the name of Jesus, and make sure Amen. It's the right. It's the don't settle for an Ishmael. Okay.
That is so true.
Yeah. And don't settle for a frog.
Yeah.
And somebody said, yeah, got to kiss a lot of frogs to find the prince. No, don't do that. Okay.
You don't have to
reserve your lips, for the right ones. And you'll know if it's a frog. Give them one little kiss and you'll know. No, that's not it. I think I shared that in the previous podcast. I gave this one girl a kiss and I was like, that was like kissing my sister. That'll never happen again. I'm not even going to call you back. She was a really pretty lady too. She was a really pretty girl. She really was, and was just like fantastic. But I was just like, whoa, that is definitely not right. That was weird.
And so, I think that, though, that's all part of, you know, when you pray and you're believing God for that, he's going to show you who the right one is. Yeah. Then it's like you don't have to like waste time and
kiss a bunch of frogs.
Yeah, and spend a bunch, you know, as you call it, foolish money, you know,
because
the Lord really does. He really does guide you and help you. I know that happened with me as well. So,
yep. Amen.
It's good. Yeah.
So that's it. For today,
yes.
for right now.
Yes.
We'll be back because we're not done with this topic.
Oh, no, we got a lot more.
What would I do differently if I was 25 again? We're going to keep on, okay? Yeah. And so more enjoyable podcast times to come. God bless you. And, hey, we want to see you here in Johnson City starting on Resurrection Sunday, Easter weekend. We start a powerful revival Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, morning and evening at our camp meeting, 2024 camp meeting, As It Is in Heaven. My wife and I, along with our good friend, Evangelist Tony Suarez, is going to be joining us. It's going to be powerful. So bring yourself, bring somebody else, pack your car out, get here to Johnson City. We'd love to see you.
31st through April 5th.
Amen.
10 a.m., 7 p.m.
Come see us, okay? Love you so much.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com, riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate. Be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.